Amen. How can I say thanks? You want me to answer that? Thanks. But if you really mean it, what's the matter? Lone Star, good deal down there. Awesome. 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 I can tell you how the best way you can say thanks is to simply obey the Word of God. The Bible says that to obey is better than anything else you can do. It's better than sacrifice. Better than giving. Just obey. You know, we sang that song right before that. He's a pain taker. He's a chain breaker. I believe there's some people in this place tonight that you've had some pain taken and you've had some chains broken. I was reflecting back as we sang that song just a moment ago that the 29th of last month of November, it's been 40 years. I know I don't look 40, but it's been 40 years since the Lord knocked me flat on my back in the living room of my home, delivered me from some addictions that I had and gave me purpose and meaning in life. And you know what? He's not only saved me, He's kept me, and He's satisfied me. Now, there have been some battles, there have been some struggles, but I promise you one thing, if you serve the Lord, you're going to have some battles. He hadn't called us to a service of sissyhood. He's called us to a service of servanthood. He's called us to a place of being warriors and soldiers in the greatest army that's ever existed. That's the army of the Lord. He's called. You know, some of you remember in children's church, and I may have to get a little help from Judy Bell. I'm too small to march in the infantry, gallop into cavalry, fly over the enemy. I'm too small to shoot the artillery, but I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. You're in the Lord's army. Act like it. Tighten up. Some of you been in the military like I was, and I can't tell you how many times I've heard that drill sergeant say, "Get your mind right, boy." Wasn't always talking to me. He was talking to a lot of different ones, but including me. And sometimes we need to get our spiritual minds right. Skeeter and I were talking about this in the office either yesterday or today about we spend so much time, rightly so, talking about this fight of faith, this walk of faith, this journey of faith, and certainly it is every bit of that, but we don't give enough significance to how much the Word speaks about having your mind renewed by the washing of the water of the Word, bringing thought captives, watching our mind, guarding our mind, not allowing things to go from our mind into our heart. He talks to us a lot about our mind. And I want you to know we reach a place where it's possible for the Scripture to manifest in us as His children in His army to let this mind which is in Christ Jesus be in you also. You can have the mind of Christ. I'll share a quick testimony for you non-rodeo contestants. This won't mean a whole lot to you, but for those of you that rodeo, you'll understand 100% what I'm talking about. You know, the National Finals Rodeo just ended last weekend over in out in Las Vegas, and a good friend of mine, Marcus Costa from Brazil, finished runner-up in the world last year, got a really bad deal in the ninth go-round. It cost him a world championship. This year, he went into the finals in fourth place, and he was about 60,000, give or take a little bit, behind first place. So he had to have a red-hot finals. He had a lot of ground to make up. He went in there. He didn't win any go-rounds, but he placed second and split thirds, and he got a fourth, and he hammered along. Finally, after nine rounds, he's winning the average. He's moved up to sitting second in the world. Saturday is the 10th and final performance. And Glenda and I were hanging around the house there, and she had me doing some honeydews, and just the Lord moved on me. And I sent Marcus a text talking about what we just finished talking about. And all I said in the text message was, let this mind which was in Christ Jesus be in you also. How do you do that? By having your mind renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. I said, don't listen to all of those voices that are out there around you trying to distract you. Only listen to the voice of the Lord. That text prompted him to go to his truck and get his devotion, and he began to read that daily devotion, and it talked about staying in the hand of God and in the purposes of God. And the reason God had me to write the word, don't listen to those voices around you, because when they found out the draw for the 10th round, in other words, which calf he would have, he drew one of the worst calves in the herd. He drew a calf that had been missed twice that week. He had not been tied in faster than 29 seconds all week long because he would kick and strain. And he's got to be in the 7-second range to win the world championship. And so here came all of those negative voices talking about how bad that calf was. But Marcus stayed focused. He went out there, made a smoking run, and won a world championship. I want you to understand something. Serving God, winning world championships, being successful in the business world, et cetera, et cetera, fill in the blanks. It doesn't come easy. It takes some bringing captive some thoughts. It takes paying some price. It takes some dedication. It takes some work. It takes some going to the gym. It takes some perseverance. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon that we're in. And we've got to realize that we've been called to battle. We've been called to fight a fight. If you have your Bible, would you open to the book of Joshua? I want to share just very quickly about 9 verses. What the Lord shared with me today about them. Going into this new year, this is our last service before the new year. And I thought, well, maybe I need to have a stereotypical New Year's Eve type message, and I don't have one of those for you. I'm not even going to make any New Year's resolutions, because I read where less than 2% of us that make those resolutions keep them. So I don't want to be a liar. Hope you're not one of them. But I want us to glean some things from this passage of Scripture that we're going to read tonight that hopefully will help us to have a more impactful 2018 for the kingdom of God than possibly we had in 2017. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. We see the children of Israel having been led out of Egypt in slavery, coming up to that Red Sea, Pharaoh's army crashing in behind them, and we see in the past, we've possibly looked at that as them being fearful or running from an army, but in actuality, they were running towards a promise. They get out there, they murmur, they complain, they circle in the wilderness for a bunch of years, and possibly many of you don't know, or some of you may not know, that roughly the 600,000 men that left Egypt that had been in slavery, none of them entered into the promised land but Joshua and Caleb. I'm sorry. For all the others had become murmurers and complainers, and they had died off out there in the wilderness as they circled around. And that needs to be a lesson to us to not be gripers and complainers. Well, I thought I was going to help you out there, Duke, but I better not. Don't be gripers and complainers, whiners and belly achers. Have a right spirit. If the music's a little loud, bring you some earplugs. Or tell us, we'll get you some. If you're a little bit cool, we've got blankets. Or bring a coat. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to make things the most conducive for the largest amount of the people. We want the majority of the people, the temperature to be good, the sound to be good. And it's just like a basketball referee at a basketball game. When he blows that whistle, half the people in the gym are mad. Some of them going to like his call. The other side's not going to like his call. I'm going to tell you, there's not two harder or least appreciated ministries in any church than the sound man and the guy that runs the air conditioner or the heater. I don't want either one of those jobs. But what I want us to have is I want us all to have a right spirit. Tell them I'm busy right now, Brooke, please. But so here they're going from Egypt to a promised land. They've murmured, they've complained, they've circled the wagons. Moses dies. They're up at the River Jordan. They've sent out the spies. They've returned with the 12 spies. They've returned with their report. 10 say, can't be done. There's giants over there. Mission impossible. 2 say, yeah, there's giants over there, but if God delight in us, we're well able. See, that's some key words right there, if God delight in us. And if we're standing firm upon the promises of God's word. See, his promises is his word. And if we're standing upon that, and we're walking in obedience and faithfulness, and we're fighting the fight, and we have a right spirit and a right attitude and a right uplook and a right outlook, and if we're willing to pay the price of being a doer of the word and working in faith, God will show up. And God will do what needs to be done. So, the Lord tells Joshua, Moses is dead. This I want tonight to represent 2017. 2017, for all intents and purposes and theoretically right now, it's gone. It's basically gone. What lies before us is 2018. And the opportunity, should we tarry and should the Lord let us live and him not return, is a year that where we need to hopefully desire to enter into the promises of God more than we possibly ever have in our life. Where we want to be a people that's light shines in darkness, to where we want to be a people that represents the Lord in a way that maybe we never have before. That we be a people that sees our friends and family members and even some of our enemies come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. Do you know that every one of us in this place tonight, which is a lot less than normal, but that's okay, but every one of us that's in this place tonight, we have a sphere of influence that nobody else has in this place. And God wants you. He wants you to take Jesus with you everywhere you go, to the grocery store, to school, to work, to church. Wherever, and be sensitive to that still small voice of the Lord that would speak to you. Not to be weird or pushy or some religious nut. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about listening to that voice to where it might be just an occasion of a waitress or a checkout person at the store or whatever, where you feel something you really don't even know what you feel. And maybe you just need to say, "Can I pray for you about something?" And you'll be amazed at where that sensitivity that God was letting you feel that you needed to say something. You'll be amazed at what little opening they're ready to bolt through and say, "Yeah, you're not going to believe this, but what's going on at my house, I hate to even go home to." You never know what's going to come out of the mouth, but it'll be an opportunity for you to represent the Lord and pray a simple prayer of faith. One thing that I've learned about prayer is the less you sound like a preacher, the more your prayers will get answered. It's when we try to impress people with who we are that our prayers don't go get answered. Because, see, it's not about us. It's about what the one we're praying to. It's a simple asking. For whatever the need is, whether it's healing or a job or provisions or restoration of a marriage or a home, whatever it may be, it's coming to the King of Kings and asking him to intervene, to help, to show us the way, to give us wisdom, to deliver us, to do what only he can do. It's for us to come to him and ask him, invite him to get involved in our situation. That's effective prayer. And then to expect. And to believe that he will, because he desires to. What I want to talk to you about very quickly is as we go into this year, see, these people are getting ready to cross over into the promised land, just like I believe we are this year. The first thing that we need to realize, we see in verse 2, whereas, and we never need to forget the fact that God is our source, for he says, "I do give them." Before they ever crossed the Red Sea, before they ever got across the desert, and before they crossed the River Jordan, that land had been given to them. And God is our supply. God is our source. God is the one that, in James it says, every good and perfect gift cometh from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow nor turning. That means that he's always at the noontime position. He's always at the pinnacle of his ability and his desire to show up and to show out in your life and your circumstances. He's always ready. We don't have to catch him in a good mood. We don't have to earn his approval. We come to him in sincerity and in faith, trusting and believing and asking and receiving and watching God work and show up and show out in a way that only he can. He's our source. Secondly, in verse 3, we need to embrace the promises of God. See, he said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given you. We used to sing a song when I was a little boy in children's church before I really went nuts. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Now, we immediately think of all the great and wonderful promises that are in there, and there's a whole heap of them. But there's also some promises in there that says, if you don't do such and such, this is what's going to happen. And we don't want to go there. But the promises of God is the word of God, which is why the devil tries to keep each and every one of us so hard from learning his word. He don't want us to know that by his stripes I'm healed, made well, and made whole. He don't want us to know that when I pray in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, that demons tremble and shake and quiver, because you see, they know they're in. They've already encountered him on multiple occasions. He kicked them out of heaven. They encountered him at Calvary. They encountered him in hell when before he ascended, he descended into the regions of the damned, fulfill that verse over in Genesis where the Savior would bruise his heel on the serpent's head, and he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from the devil. They've watched that. They've seen their champion go down. They've seen their hero crash and crumble. And they know what his word says will be their end in the end also. But you need to know the word. You need to know the promises of God. You need to arm yourself and be dangerous with the word of God. The Christian that doesn't know the word is of no threat to the devil. But that person that can say, Lord, your word says such and such, the devil goes, oh, Lord. Oh, man. Hide thy word in thy heart. I've hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You get tired of being defeated with the same thing over and over and over and over again. How do you stop that? How do you stop that? By being filled over and over and over again with the Spirit of God. Being filled with the Word of God. Getting to a place that you recognize the sensitivity of that Holy Spirit giving you a check. I better not go over there because it's going to save you from getting into an environment or a situation to where you're weak and you're vulnerable. Donovan, can I use you as an example? Here's a young man that I'm really growing to love that spent some time in the big house, but really turned out to be a good thing for him in that he encountered this Jesus. And he's out, and he's working a job for a whole lot less money than what he was accustomed to making, and doing a menial task, encountered his former boss before he went in the big house, and was offered his old job back for a whole lot of more money than he's making. But yet he recognized, I don't need to get back in the environment that I was in. And he stayed where he's at. God's going to honor that. God's going to honor that. Even Clint Eastwood says a man's got to know his limitations. And you need to stay in an environment till you get strong enough to walk back in that environment and be a light to those guys. And the same can go, I could just move my finger all across this auditorium. Same goes for all of us. Need to listen to that voice, knowing the promises. Thirdly, in verse 5, and I'll hurry along. Thirdly, we've got to recognize that as we go into the year 2018 and that we have a promise of God's protection. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee. New Testament says it this way. There shall not a weapon formed against you that shall prosper. No weapon formed against you that can prosper if you stay clothed in the armor of God, in the presence of God, walking in obedience to the word of God, sensitive to the voice of God, knowing when to stand still, knowing when to move forward, knowing when to speak, knowing when to be quiet. Knowing when to embrace and knowing when to refrain from embracing. See, everything, there's a time and there's a season. And we've got to learn to have a hearing ear to what the voice of the Holy Spirit would speak to us in this journey, because we know His Word says that the steps of the righteous man are ordered of God. But you got to listen to orders in order to obey them. So oftentimes we want to do our own thing, our own way, in our own time, and then ask God to just bless it. And I want you to know it doesn't work that way. We're to walk according to His ways and His purposes, knowing that He'll protect us in whatever direction that we follow Him in, because He's already there. Next, in verse 6, we see that, recognize the fact that He has promised our provisions. He said, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land. God has promised He's going to take care of us. We might not have everything that we want, but we'll have everything that we need. I want to go back to Philippians 4:19. I want you to learn a lesson here. In case you're in a slow learner's class or you might have missed this a few weeks ago when I preached on this. A lot of Christians, you say, what's your favorite verse? And most of them will sign, when they're signing autographs, will put Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. How many of you know it doesn't say that? That's not what Philippians 4:19 says. You thought it did. You've probably even quoted it that way. I challenge you, go get it out and read it. Not now, later. I'm going to tell you now what it says, and I'm going to tell you why it says it. Philippians 4:19 says this, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. Why was it said there in that way? Because Paul was writing to the Philippians, and he was telling them how when I first began to spread the gospel, to preach the gospel, to build the kingdom of God. When I first began this, you and you alone gave unto my necessities and gave unto my need, supported, in other words, the work of the gospel, supported the work of the ministry. And because you did that, my God will supply all your need according to His riches, which are limitless, by the way, which are according to His riches in glory. So, if you've been a giver, a sower into this or any other church or the spreading of the gospel or the ministry in any shape, form, or fashion, if you've been a giver into the kingdom building principles of God, you can quote 4:19 that my God will supply all your needs according to your riches, His riches in glory. It's that simple. That's a fact because it's a principle of God that what you sow, you reap. You sow kindness, you get kindness. You show yourself friendly, you get friends. You sow money, money comes back. It's not the thrust of my message tonight. Y'all have never heard me preach on money. I don't. Because God shall supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. Now, He speaks to people. He uses people. We know that. But the emphasis is upon Jesus. Period. End of story. The one that can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or even ask. So the provisions come from Him. Lastly, in verse 7, success. Here's the key to success. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. In other words, the word of God. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You want success? Be obedient. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. For when you do the word of God, the word will accomplish what the Lord has sent it to do. The word of God works. The word of God makes a difference. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall endure forever. God places great value upon His word. You should too. I should too. I challenge each and every one of us going into this new year that we're about to embark upon to purpose in our heart not to weaken, not to fall by the wayside, not to let things distract us, but to be wholly and totally committed unto the study of God's Word and to hide it in our heart, cram it into our minds. Sometimes you may think, I remember this and still feel this way at times. I thought, I don't even know why I read this thing. I don't remember nothing to read and I don't get nothing out of it. Y'all ever felt like that? Yeah, you have. But guess what? You're retaining and understanding more than you think you are. Because that's why the verse will come to pass at some point. It says, take no thought what you shall say. For in the very hour that you have need, the Holy Spirit will quicken unto you the words that you're to speak. And guess what that word's going to be? God's word. That's what's going to be quickened and brought back to you by the Spirit of God to speak the word. And as you speak the word, it will go forth and accomplish that which the Lord has sent it to do. Come on up, Nathaniel. I'm going to close with that. I want to mention one other thing as he comes. Don't be afraid. Be strong. Remember, the Jordan River was out of the banks. First of all, when they got to the Red Sea, God parted those waters. They walked across on dry ground. Now they're at the Jordan River. It's floods period of the year, and the river's out of the banks. But this time, they had to put their foot in the water. It's a step of faith. See, at the Red Sea, he pushed those walls of water way back. But now they had to put their foot in that water. That's a step of faith. And as they put the water foot in the water, and the water pushed back, and they walk across on dry ground. We're going to have to take some steps of faith in our personal lives, and we're going to have to take some steps as Open Range. But if we've heard God and we're walking and moving in faith, no matter what it looks like, we will see God work. Would you bow your heads? I want to pray for you going into this new year. You say, Dennis, you don't know what kind of 2017 I've had. I probably don't. But I can tell you this with a certainty. You keep your eyes on Jesus and your focus upon Him. You be obedient to the Word. And I promise you, 2018 is looking up. You're going to have a test, but then you're going to have a testimony. You're going to see God unlike you've ever seen Him move in your life. I believe that with all of my heart. And I'm not playing church here. No one's looking around. But if you will commit to me and to God and to yourself, beginning January 1, that you're going to get into the Word of God like you never have. Every day. If that's you, could I see your hand? I want to pray for you. Get it up and get it up, get it up, get it up, get it up. All right, you can put it down. Several hands didn't go up. Maybe you didn't want to make that commitment because maybe you're not a child of God. Maybe you say, Dennis, I don't even serve this Jesus that you're talking about. If that's you and you're tired of living the way you live and know that you need forgiveness of your sins, you need a change of direction. Like the song earlier tonight, you've got pain, and He's the pain taker. You've got chains, and He's the chain breaker. And tonight you would like to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life, save you, change you. You say, Dennis, that's me. Could I see your hand, anyone, anywhere? You just slip it up, slip it right back down. Anyone, quickly, raise it up. Yes, sir. Anyone else, very quickly. Slip it up, slip it right back down. Anyone else to join this man already? Your opportunity, your time. Here's what the Word of God says. You believe in your heart Jesus is the Son of God. Loves you. Came to this earth. Shed His blood and died for you. Didn't stay dead. He rose, walked out of a grave. He's alive today, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, and that He's coming back one day to get us. We believe that in our heart. Don't just acknowledge that He's real, but believe it. We're going to believe and adhere to His tenets and teachings. And we confess with our mouth, His Word says, we're saved. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer in case you don't know how. It's not my prayers that save you. It's your confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart and receiving the gift of eternal life that you're about to have. So let's pray, everyone, please. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I do believe You're God's Son. You loved me enough to die in my place. And You were powerful enough to not stay dead. You walked out of a grave. And You're alive today, coming back to get Your children someday. And so I ask You now to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me with Your blood, to come into my life and to be my Savior, my Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, you saw many hands go up across this place of people that are willing to make a commitment to themselves and to you. They want to get into your word and study and hide that word in their heart. And God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will be present to do his work, to lead, guide, and to direct, and to teach, to illuminate the words from your word. Lord, help them to begin to understand what they read and help them to apply it to their lives. And God, we ask you to do a mighty work, not just in the four walls of Open Range, but God, that you'll send us out into a field in the highways and byways and compel people to come to you, to not be ashamed of the light that lives in us and the life that lives in us, but to speak words of hope to the hopeless and love to the unlovable. God, let them know that you can change where they're at and set them free. And Lord, I pray that in the upcoming year, that you will use us as you've never used us before, that we will see the Shekinah of glory of God all about us, that, Lord, that you would be present to heal, to save, to deliver, to set free, to restore, to do what only you can do. God, we desire to see your power manifest in our midst and among the hurting people. We'll be sure to say thank you and to give you praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen.